Hello there and welcome back to Wizards of E-commerce, your host Naomi, and today it's you and I sharing the most sexiest topics of all, which is failures and mistakes. And today I would like to talk about this topic specifically because most of the time what I see, it's way easier for sharing good news. However, when it's coming to bad news or to share your own mistakes or your own failures, there's reluctance there. So I know that when we started selling on Amazon and we just, as I was saying, barely starting out, we were hearing all these great positive stories about how great it is on Amazon to sell and how much money can you make and so on, which, yes, it is true. However, I think that most of the time, you can learn a lot from failures. And today I am willing to be open about our process and our failures or mistakes during these past 2 years since we were selling on Amazon.com. We brought our own private label, own brand, and start selling around 2 years ago. And since then, obviously today's list is going to be about 10 failures that we made. We made way more than that, or we made more than that, than 10 failures. I think these are the top failures that could help you become successful. So this is why I am willing to be open about it and willing to tell you also that, look, we didn't do so well on these topics and why you should learn from our failures. So your journey is going to be even more successful and you can really legitimately brag only about good things happening into your business. All right, let's start right away. So the first failure was here once that we started our journey selling on Amazon, selling our private label brand on Amazon. Obviously, you have to find the product and you have to like know how much quantity do you want to start your product with selling. Now, what happened to us is even if we had a average approximation of what of the number of units sold per month, we were off, and we were off almost double. And which means that once that we started selling and once that we really were in the launching phase and we ran heavy or aggressive PPC ads, so our product is going to get a lift and it's going to be ranked organically. During that period, unfortunately, we didn't have enough inventory, meaning we would have needed around 2,000 units to order, and we had only 1,000 units ordered. So there, a good lesson for you if you're going to start your journey. First off, make sure that you have enough units to start with. And second tip here, how you could go about figuring out what the number would be. Yet again, I'm saying this from our perspective. We were in a very competitive niche where sales, like most of our competitors, were selling around 1,500, 2,000 units per month. So that was our competitors' experience. Now here for us, we were thinking, okay, if we're going to take the average of the top 10 sellers, the monthly average of sales, and then divide it by 10, obviously, that's going to be on average a good amount to approximate that we are going to also start selling. Now here we took out the outliers, which were the highest selling competitors and the lowest selling competitors, and that's the number that we came up with. Obviously, as I was saying, we didn't account it for the number of units that actually might be the number of units that are going to be sold, which only because of aggressive PPC at start at launch. So this is why I was suggesting it would be wise for you if you actually know your game or if you are consulting with someone and it's helping you, okay, with your PPC strategy once that you're going to launch your product. be sure that you have enough inventory, because yes, as everyone was saying when we were telling them, look, we had lots of success with the first product, but this is what happened after a month, you know, we ran out of stock, and it was like, then we had to order via air shipping, so that also cut off from our profits. Yet again, good lesson to learn there. I would highly suggest, to make my point, is to figure out the best way you can, how much inventory would you need, and also talk with your suppliers and also with the freight forwarders to see, to make sure how many units should you first off have prepared in case that anything is going to happen, also with shipping wise and also with your manufacturers not being able to provide you the units that you will need right in time. So that's the advice there. The second failure that or second mistake that happened during this journey of failures is a product without marketing will make no sales. Now, obviously here, as I was saying, yes, marketing wise, we did have a strong PPC game. However, what I noticed, we didn't start it strong from the first week, but afterwards only. And what I noticed is just because a product is good and it's improved, it's not going to sell. So Amazon is still a pay-to-play game. And if you're not willing to pay the price of your product showing up within the first or top four places once that you're going to launch the product, either that, if you're going to go via the PPC route, like PPC ranking strategy launch, product launch, either you're going to give products away, whatever your way of starting launching these products or starting selling these products would be, I would highly suggest to understand PPC costs or understand marketing costs or understand how much would it actually cost you to start making the sales that you want to make from day one. Right, just taking a sip of coffee and then back to you. So the third failure here was being an early adopter and relying on one tactic only. The moment we started, or around the period that we started, this was back in 2019, and not what I'm talking about, 2020 last year, there you go. So back then, sponsored brand video ads were a new thing and not many people had them. Also in our niche, we were the first ones, if I recall correctly, the first ones who actually used this type of ad campaigns. And obviously, since we were early adopters and we were the first ones, it was at a very, very good price. So ACOS wise, we got sales, a lot of sales, very cheaply. And obviously, because everything was converting and because the keywords were converting, so we became relevant to the system. And then also the PPC price became even less expensive. Then that was the best way to go. And honestly, I think the mistake here was that didn't really wanted to do anything else besides PPC campaign or rely on some other tactic of how to sell besides PPC campaign. Needless to say, within a few months, our competitor caught up and they also had like budget for it. And just to give you an example, so the bid price or the CPC price, to be more correct, it was, let's say, 20 cents, 40 cents. And then once the competitors also got up and understood how cheap that is, the bid price or the CPC price became $15. Just giving you an example. Yes, I know it's extreme, but it was our scenario. And from that, we learned that just because you're an early adopter, don't stay there. Don't be happy with it. Okay, be happy for a moment too that you actually had a win, but still keep at it and still learn new things, because those things, if you learn them so fast, your competitors also are going to learn them. So their tip or advice would be to have at least three sources of traffic that are either outside traffic or either any other type of traffic that you can have, at least have it there. So you're not relying only on one thing that is like early adopters advantage and that actually can become your competitor's advantage later on the game. The fourth failure here I want to share with you was starting in a way to compete in the niche with a me-too product. Now, obviously, when you were starting, like when we started, we had no concept of me-too product. We had concept of this is the Amazon course that I took. This is what it taught me. This is how to look for a product. And this is the type of product that I am interested in. And this is how much money does it has to make me to make sense for me to invest in it. So yet again, these are very idealistic, I would say, things. Because most of the time, what's going to happen, first off, if you're starting and you, yet again, if you don't have a proper guidance or someone who is like a seller for more time and understands the market and sees the whole process differently and understands what the product takes or how should the product really be differentiated and in which category should be differentiated. For you as a new seller, it might be a hit or miss. And when it's a hit, and if it's a hit in a competitive niche, as it was in our case, I would say when you have a Me Too product, really all your competitors are going to show up with similar products with you, simply because one, if you found that product, so did 20 or 30 or 50 more people who think that it's still a good product to sell. And even worse there, once that the product is in a very competitive niche and it's selling really well and it makes money, obviously manufacturers are also going to jump on that product because they have the possibility to produce that in way larger quantities than you have. And what's going to happen is that they are going to cut you on price. Not being mean here, also, like, for example, our product, many Chinese competitors have this very similar product to ours. And that also, yet again, not trying to be mean, but there's a lot of black hat tactics that are going to be imposed on our listings. So if you are trying to start in a very competitive niche and your product is kind of a me too product, by me too, just so you understand the concept, it's a product that it's very similar to something that sells really, really well, that anyone can really copy it, or it's very easy to copy it, unless you really have a good PPC game, you have outside traffic, you have your way like light way in front of any competitor that could show up, and unless you have that, unfortunately, this is what's going to happen. Going not too further on this topic, but yet again, other things that can happen is, as I was saying, first off, competitors can cut you on price, they can leave negative reviews, and they can, in some cases, also report your listing or suspend the listing until you can come up with a better strategy for that. Just please keep in mind that you should be prepared for it. What I say by preparing for it. So like I was saying with the negative reviews, actually this happened to us, and our product started selling really, really well. The first product started selling really, really well. And after I think 2 weeks, not even 2 weeks, once that it really gained momentum, what happened that negative reviews showed up on our listing, like 2, 3, 5 negative reviews. And it was hard to combat them because first off, you have to really have like a handful of people who are going to help you with reviews first off. Either have a community of like influencers or something. Here, I'm not trying to give you a tip, because we're talking about this is the exact topic that we are always talking about during all our episodes. However, what I would like to say and suggest to you, have a handful of people who are willing to help you out when this happens, and be prepared if you're in a very competitive niche that this is something that is going to happen. All right, without further ado on this topic, this was the longest one that I gave my feedback in on when it comes to failures. All right, the fifth failure was with PL. You make money once you sell the business, not necessarily once that you are in the business. What I mean to say by this is, yes, private label it's still a brilliant business model and it works brilliantly and ROI, it's there, and really you should do it if you have the means, I would say, because it's a great model, and especially if you understand how to sell a product and what does actually takes to sell digitally. I'm talking so I am through e-com, how to sell, yeah, e-com a product, I guess this is what I wanted to say. So here what I would advise you is understand cash flow, and before you take your next Amazon course, I was a bit mean, I'm just like looking at the notes that I took. Understanding cash flow is very, very important, because if you don't understand the cash flow, you don't understand how the business works. And what I loved, we just had, I think, two episodes ago, Steve Simonson on the show, and he just dropped it was just a mic drop. He was saying that your business heavily relies, no, the cash flow is like air for your business. If you don't have air anymore for your business is going to die. And it's really like that, understanding how cash flow works. And here I'm not talking about monthly revenue of what you see. I'm just like going to say Helium 10 because that's the most popular software that everyone is using to see how much money would this product make for me. So I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about sales. I'm talking about monthly cash flow. Understand and organize how to deal with the money, with the net income that comes from the business, how to reinvest in that. Because most of the time what's going to happen, that is the money that you're going to reinvest either towards your next purchase or either towards towards your marketing or either towards something else. So once that you're taking out that money from the business, your business basically dies. So understanding the concept of cash flow, I would highly, highly suggest to look this up, either go to YouTube, either come to us, either ask in the chat, obviously, Telegram chat, okay, like 2-3 tips on how to like be better at cash flow management or something like that. And I'm sure that someone is going to answer, and also me and Carlos, we are there. So it's super important, and this was one of our failures, not understanding exactly what cash flow means for the business. Yes, we understood the numbers, we understood our margins, but cash flow, it's a different beast that you will need to fight and to understand in order to make it work for your business. Sixth failure was bringing on the second product in the same niche does not mean double sales. So very happily, we finally made it, even if in a very competitive niche. We made it, we had good sales, and we said, okay, we're going to bring a product that wasn't on the market. We have zero competitors. And we said, okay, let's bring the second product. The second product was in the same niche, and it was very close. It solved the same problem as the first product. However, it was a bit differentiated. We said, okay, let's bring this product. Let's see how it's going to work. We already have keywords. We already have everything prepared for it. We would use the same manufacturer. So it was like a win-win-win. However, something that we did not keep in mind was that bringing the second product in the same niche actually lowered our sales on the first product. The second product, when we brought it to the market, it started selling really well. But yet again, all the sales that, or most of the sales that our first product got caught up with with this one, with this new product, you know. And here, just like careful attention if you're going to bring either a variation, either a product that's very similar to the first product that you have or already sell within the same niche, expect your sales to cut because that's normal to happen. All right, let me just take a sip. We have four of more these guys and we're good to go. So the seventh failure that happened was forgetting about building up outside traffic and email list. Here, I would say it wasn't necessarily a failure to forget. It was paying too much attention on the Amazon platform, learning too much how to play on the Amazon platform. I think this was actually, it's more accurate to say it was a failure rather than forgetting about building up outside traffic. And what I'm talking about now basically is how to make your products or how to sell your products via PPC advertising. Keeping in mind that only this year the PPC costs increased, like the ACoS was rising from around 20 to 60%, like overall on all categories. Keeping that in mind, obviously, focusing on PPC only or understanding PPC only or having the best PPC game, even to say so, it's not going to help you or not going to save you. So think of outside traffic. Think of, as I was saying, email list. I honestly didn't understood the value of email list until 2 or 3 weeks ago when unfortunately, because we had outside traffic, so we were working with influencers and we also built up a good channel, I would say, Instagram social media channel, and our account was shut down and without any explanation, without anything to say, okay, what we did wrong. Also twice tried to reach out with and went through all the process. I also added all the documents that they requested, business documents and everything. They didn't even reply. So I guess that was the moment when I realized, hey, I am really like investing so much into social media and investing maybe in outside traffic everything can be gone. Like just like that, you know. So this is why I would say building up your website, building up your email list are the most valuable assets that you can have at this point. So learn that from my mistake. The eighth failure was lowering ACoS, the cost of sales. Sip one more and I'm back. So if you are doing your PPC by yourself, like you're managing your PPC by yourself, or even if someone else is managing your PPC, pay a lot of attention. Most people are advocating of, yes, let's lower ACoS. Unless you understand what it takes to lower your ACoS, unless you understand which are the campaigns that should be cut and which are the keywords that you should really lower your ACoS on, what you're going to end up with, which happened in my case as well, you're going to cut from your sales. Meaning, if you have a target ACoS of, let's say, 40%, and you're trying to say that, okay, I want to lower my ACoS to 30%, what's the first campaign that you're going to take you're going to lower the bid on? Probably the one that that spends the most, right? Yes, that's also what happened to us. However, there, keep in mind that if that campaign is also, you're spending most on it, but it's also bringing you the most sales, the moment that you're going to lower your bid on it, also your sales are going to go down since you're not going to show up in the same place anymore. And yes, sometimes this can work. Sometimes you can really lower your ACoS and you can lower your cost of advertising, let's put it that way. However, what I would highly suggest here, whenever you're going to actually lower your ACOS, I would highly suggest to first take away the ones that are bleeders, or pause the campaigns that are bleeders, because those are the ones who are taking up most money, yet they are not converting, rather than first off take off from something that it's spending a lot, yet it brings you sales. So there's my 2 cents of learning so much PPC. Yet again, not an expert, but this is something that I learned during the 2 years almost of managing our campaigns. And this is something that I see most people do. They are always going to cut from the campaign that it's actually bringing their most sales, just because the ACOS is too high. There's a lot to it. We have experts on this particular domain. We have Destiny, we had also Michael Erickson Fakin from Fakin, there you go, sorry, I mistranslated them, from the Ad Badger. We have really experts on our previous episodes, so pretty much I would highly advise to also listen to what they're saying as well. But this was my expertise on lowering the ACOS to the cost of sales. It happened to me, and my cat now is just coming in my... Okay, and it's gone. All right, so you're going to hear meows during 2 more of my failures. I hope that's fine with you, and burning. So accumulating too much knowledge and acting on too many aspects of the business at once. This was my 9th major failure, I would say. I've been just identified as, according to Gallup Strength Finder, I was identified as a learner, and that's my first strength, which means that I'm going to accumulate a lot of information without not necessarily executing on that information. So I learned during this time a lot. However, something super, super important, once that you are going to start this business and you're going to start selling, make sure that you master one aspect of the business, right? You're mastering one aspect, then after, let's say, a few months, once that you're in, and once that you already create the systems around that aspect of the business, you can move and experiment with different categories. What I noticed is, because I wanted to learn so much, and I was like present in almost all our meetings during last year as well, Wizards meetings, you know, I accumulated a lot of knowledge that I actually eventually helped me. However, I accumulated too much knowledge, and sometimes I invested too much time in things that I shouldn't have. So there, my tip for you to learn from this mistake would be find the things that are bringing you the highest ROI, basically time and money-wise as well, and make sure that you're going to prioritize those. And make sure here also something else that I also seen helpful for us is once that you're going to integrate something new in your business, especially once you're starting, is to don't integrate that new thing too fast. So let's say you're planning to integrate, I don't know, as I was saying, about outside traffic, and I was talking about building up an email list. Don't build the email list the moment that you're launching the product, because or depending on how much time are you going to invest in this. If you have someone else who is going to do it for you and build up everything, great. But if you are going to first off understand how does this skill can be played and how to basically do it properly, I would suggest to have plans, like for quarterly plans, or once that you are even more advanced and you have even more systems in place, maybe monthly plans. What are the one thing that you personally are going to work on yourself? And second, what is the one thing that you're going to apply in your business? And then we just arrive to the last failures, which is going to be a short-sighted view. Now, full disclaimer here, I didn't had anything to do with e-com, with anything what I'm actually talking about right now. Like, since I just started the episode, I had nothing to do with it. I loved social media. I kind of understood how affiliate marketing works, or had an understanding in how affiliate marketing works. However, I didn't understand what it takes to build a business. And therefore, we, even if we were successful with our product, and honestly, not sure how many people can say that from their first launch, they successfully managed to bring up a product. Now, I'm not saying this like in a like bragging way, but it's like in a way that we managed to do something that most people are not. We could have been way better if, or let's put it on me, since I was a strategist here, I could have been or have done way better if I would have had a clear plan for the business. Now, yet again, back then when we started the business, we had only a little knowledge about what actually it takes to sell on Amazon. But now looking back, as I was saying, so many things we didn't know about, but now we do. So I noticed that because we didn't have like big enough view of how things should be played, or for example, when we started, it was the goal to have $10,000 sales on Amazon.com. So that was the goal. Find a product that has 10,000 sales on Amazon.com. Don't ask me why 10,000. Don't ask me why not 9,000. It wasn't. It was a goal that we had. And it was, if I make $10,000 per month from this, I'm happy. That was it for me, you know? And actually, we successfully done that. But now I see that if the goal would have been become, I don't know, a seven-figure seller, and I would have had that goal, and I would have been frustrated all the time because I didn't understand what it actually takes to be a seven-figure seller. How much do you have to invest? How many products do you have to have? Or what's the structure to actually become that person who manages a business that is seven figure? What are the systems that you have to have in place? What kind of employees do you have to have? So summarizing here what I am trying to say with this seventh failure about being short-sighted is I was focusing on a small goal versus working backgrounds of where do I want to be and understanding how do I achieve that. So I gave you the goal with a $10,000 per month product. Yes, that was great. But in the same time, it could have been something like, okay, this is the plan. This is how I'm like, this is how I can actually make it work, rather than, okay, I have it for 1 month. This is the amount of money. I certainly hope that that made sense. But the idea there would be that having realistic goals and understanding how working backwards from that end goal would have helped to actually make bigger steps and stronger steps and more clear steps towards which are the first steps that I have to take in order to really become that seller with seven-figure seller or whatever. Would have helped tremendously. So that is it, my dears. It's always a pleasure to, I would say, talk with you, but this time actually I'm talking to you. Just a second, cat is chewing on plastic things, so I have to stop him. But let me summarize very quickly. So yet again, I am sharing this with you because I know how much it would have meant for me to understand or to come to have someone coming to me and say, look, yes, this is my, maybe this is a part of success that you think success is. However, you will have to go through a lot of things. And I hope that this way, it's going to be a good way for you to learn from my failures. And the failures that we were talking about was, again, just to summarize, was not ordering enough inventory when launching the first product. A product, it's not only a product. I mean, a product that doesn't has to also be only be good, but also marketing has to be there in order to get sale. The third one is being an early adopter and relying on only one tactic can be very helpful. The fourth one, starting in a way to competitive niche with a me-too product. Yet again, it's not the best idea possible. The fifth one, with PL, you make money once that you sell the business and not necessarily during you have the business. The sixth one, bringing on the second product in the same niche does not mean double sales. The seventh one, forgetting about building up outside traffic and an email list. Eighth failure, lowering ACoS to the cost of sales. Ninth failure, accumulating too much knowledge and acting on too many aspects of the business at once. And the tenth and final failure was a short-sighted view. So, my dear listener, I really hope this was as helpful as intended. As always, we love, love, love to hear your feedback. As I was saying, most of my personal listeners, I think, are the ones that are trying to either they're starting right away and they're starting their journey, either the ones who are trying to see how outside traffic can be effective and helpful for their business. So this is why I brought up this subject, because yet again, I want so badly to learn you to learn from my failures and not make your own failures. Much love to you, and thank you once again for listening to our podcast. This was Naomi with Wizards of Ecom. Before wrapping up, I would kindly want to invite you to become part of our Telegram group chat. You can do so by accessing amazongroupchat.com, and there you can join our Telegram channel. We have a lot of information there for you. And if you are a new listener here who is the first time listening to this episode, please join the group. Please say hi. Please give feedback on the episode. Carlos and I always love to have you, our dear listeners, interact with us, because that way we can know what type of subjects, topics, and what's the most interesting things for you that you want to learn about. All right, much love yet again. Take care and see you next Wednesday. Bye.